Hey everyone, happy Friday. I have some friends visiting me this week, so this episode is a little bit shorter. We have an edition focused on EU efforts to make its own chips, a bunch of briefs related to immigration and global trade, as well as a fascinating study into the natural selection of ancient Eurasians in our paper of the week. So let's get into it. The European Union wants to have another crack at making its own computer chips after its initial plan, the Chips Act, passed in 2023, has been deemed a failure. Chips are the building blocks for key industries. They're used for producing cars, AI, the space industry, and defense. And as you can see in this graph, the global market for chips is expected to double by 2030. The supply chains to make these chips is fragmented. Dutch machines produced by ASML allow producers to make chips in mostly Asian countries like Taiwan and Korea, which are then exported to China to manufacture modern goods like telephones. Europe depends on Taiwan's TSMC and Korea's Samsung for the most advanced chips, with 90% manufactured in Taiwan. These dependencies make Europe's economy vulnerable. Since 2020, global shortages have caused production losses, higher prices, and even the closing of factories. Nearly 80% of suppliers operate outside of the EU, leaving Europe exposed in the US-China tech rivalry. And other countries are pumping billions into their chip industries to produce more chips at home, and to keep their technological edge. The US has its own Chips Act with $52 billion in subsidies, South Korea has $74 billion in tax incentives, and China has reportedly spent $97 billion in subsidies over the past 10 years. So to secure the EU's own place in this global race, it launched the Chips Act in 2023 to boost Europe's share of global chip production to 20% by 2030, up from about 8% today. It wants to protect itself from global shortages and participate in a key global industry. In fact, the ambitions of this policy are relatively moderate. It focused on older chip models that Europe needs for its automotive industry, rather than trying to be at the cutting edge of chip technology, something that would require very large and sustained investments and significant technological efforts. That's partly because it doesn't produce any of the high-tech goods that need the most advanced chips. However, the Chips Act mainly stated goals instead of the tools to achieve them. International competition, the fact that most money is being spent by EU countries, have meant that there are no ways for the EU to monitor what's going on. And the companies that the European Union had bet on, like Intel, have put on hold their projects because of their own financial difficulties. As a result, a coalition of 9 countries, over 50 MEPs, and the semiconductor industry believes it needs a second Chips Act to finally allow the bloc to produce its own chips. They warn that access to advanced technologies is no longer guaranteed and call chips a strategic necessity for prosperity and security. So, can the Chips Act 2.0 succeed where the first version failed? Well, once again, the EU's starting point is not that bad. EU companies supply over 50% of global semiconductor manufacturing equipment. It does a lot of research into semiconductors through its research institutes, and has specialized chip companies like NXP, STMI Electronics, and Infineon Technologies. But again, it lacks on the design of chips and manufacturing, and struggles to get the funding to build chips factories. If the EU wants to make the Chips Act 2.0 a success, it has to play to the strengths and weaknesses and learn from the failure of the first Chips Act. According to the 9 countries, MEPs, and chips industry, the EU needs to make Europe more attractive for investment, and develop targeted subsidies and quicker approval procedures, and it needs to invest in research to make sure Europe can participate in the next generation of chips. But since the difficulties of the EU are not going away, it's unsure whether the EU can make the second iteration of a Chips Act work. It has limited financial firepower, limited oversight on member state spending, and faces tough international competition. And when it comes to the business of chips, it has only few customers to buy them. And that is a regular problem of the EU's many attempts at becoming more independent. They miss the bigger picture of industries being interconnected. And now in our weekly brief. A massive power outage hit Spain, Portugal, and parts of France on Monday, leaving millions without electricity and causing mass disruptions. Early reports point to 2 rapid disconnections in Spain's power grid due to instability from an overdependence on renewable energy at the time of the outage. In Ukraine news, the country signed a mineral deal with the US after months of negotiations. The US will share in future profits from energy and minerals in return for security involvement. Ukraine holds large amounts of graphite, lithium, and titanium worth billions. The deal still needs approval by Ukraine's parliament, with President Zelensky defending the deal as fair. In related developments, the US has resumed weapons exports to the country. I want to say that I called this a couple of weeks ago. China has lifted sanctions against 5 members of the European Parliament in an effort to boost trade. These sanctions had frozen an EU-China investment deal, but the EU plans to keep its own human rights sanctions against China in place. In migration news, the EU's border agency Frontex says illegal border crossings into the EU dropped by 31% compared to last year. All migration routes saw fewer migrants, with a 64% drop along the Western Balkan route. Though with the summer coming, we'll have to see if there are more crossings. Meanwhile, in other migration news, EU countries gave asylum to almost 440,000 people last year, up 7% from 2023. The biggest group were Syrians at 32%, followed by Afghans at 17%. In trade news, the EU's trade deficit with China grew by 15% in the first 3 months of this year, compared to last year. It comes as China is looking to strengthen trade ties, while the EU has warned against cheap goods being redirected from US to Europe. In related news, sales of Chinese electric vehicles in Europe nearly doubled last year, despite EU tariffs. But German auto producer Volkswagen Group's own EV sales also doubled in the first quarter compared to last year. In French political news, Jordan Bardella announced he'll run in the French 2027 presidential elections if Marine Le Pen is barred from running. She was banned from running for public office for 5 years over embezzlement, but the ban can still be overturned on appeal. And now in our paper of the week, where we have a study by David Reich from the Harvard Department of Genetics looking into the genetic selection of Eurasians over the past 10,000 years. By comparing modern genes associated with lower fat percentages, mental health conditions like schizophrenia or bipolar disease, as well as scores on intelligence tests, higher incomes, or even years spent in school, researchers were able to map the evolution of Western Eurasians, or in other words, Europeans. Genes associated with intelligence, for example, became much more common somewhere about 8,000 years ago, which was also associated with things like walking speed. It found with a high level of certainty that this was the result of natural selection. The study theorizes that several of these changes are the result of the birth of agriculture. For example, the storage of body fat was much less needed than previously when we developed a steady supply of food. Since the study focuses on Eurasians, it doesn't address other genetic selections that might have taken place in other groups of humans across the world. But new genetic studies like this one are quickly unraveling the history of human evolution, and threatening the idea that humans are all the same. In a 2018 book, the author of the paper, David Reich, said that the idea that human populations are too closely related to each other for there to be a substantial average biological difference among them is no longer sustainable. It's still up in the air how these repeated explosive findings will influence the public debate. Anyways, that was it for this week. If you like this video, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe for the latest updates and analyses on European news. And I'll see you next week.